Welcome to this week's installment of Cultural Conversations. You can leave questions and comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/culturalconversations.
Growing up in Fort Wayne, I never really realized how extensive our park system was. I loved going to the park, but didn't recognize the options my parents had when they took us to the park. The park has become ubiquitous in the Fort Wayne area. There are numerous playgrounds and splash pads for all ages. There are two reservoirs, a botanical conservatory, gardens, a hands-on farm park, as well as green areas. There's also the Folinger Theater that hosts several musical events throughout the summer months. And for the more historically oriented, there's the historic Old Fort, a replica of the third fort built by Major John Whistler in 1816. On the other side of the St. Mary's River from the Old Fort is Headwaters Park, which offers a large pavilion for area festivals in the summertime and an ice arena during the winter months. A 24-mile paved trail along the Three Rivers, appropriately called the River Greenway, offers a scenic and quiet route, while the Fort Wayne Children's Zoo, ranked as one of the top five zoos in the country, is full of laughter and activity. Fort Wayne Parks and Recreation also supports three golf courses, the Johnny Appleseed Campground and Park. The list is truly impressive. I've lived all over the country and have never seen such an elaborate park system as we have here in the Fort Wayne area. And for the more frugally minded, most of these offerings are free to low cost. Joining me today in the studio is Al Mole, Director of Fort Wayne Parks and Recreation, and Jeff Paddock, Executive Director of Headwaters Park. Welcome, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Melissa. It's good to be here.
Nice to be with you, Melissa.
Now, how culturally different would the Fort Wayne area be if we didn't have our wonderful parks and recreation system?
Well, you're probably talking to two champions of the system sitting here, but I think as a practical fact, I think it provides probably the soul of our community. It's well known for, you know, our quality of life. I mean, it becomes a fabric of the community. I'm sure Jeff would agree with that our community wouldn't be the same, and it's something that's embraced and sustained time.
And I would also say that it's a very important marketing tool for economic development. Some folks don't see parks that way, but when businesses and industry are looking to Fort Wayne or whatever city, it's a whole combination of things, and parks are one of the assets that adds to, I think, the appeal of Fort Wayne.
Now, in both of your respective tenures, what are you especially proud of concerning the Parks and Rec Department?
Well, I mean, we have such a big enterprise in parks and recreation, and it's a size a lot of people don't recognize. But I would say if you take more recent accomplishments, and I think as recently as last year, being able to bring a special playground to our community for physically challenged or kids, youth of special needs, a boundless playground at Krieger Park, which was a project that I'm proud of because from the person that was the poster child, Taylor Ruiel, to state and federal help, to local business, local agencies, almost every volunteer in this community, even a national campaign, were able to raise, you know, $1.5 million, pretty much 90% privately funded. But it provided a venue for a segment or demographic of the community that we need to focus more on. And that was, youth and adults of special needs. So we're proud of that. But I think other things that have restoring Folinger Theater to make it more a presence of the city, same with the conservatory. And I think bringing, while we're not a business, you can apply business principles and business focus because a lot of our programs and operations have to sustain themselves. They are, even though we're heavily reliant on the taxpayer, a lot of the programs, as Jeff knows, and Jeff operates with the same thing, you have to pay your own way. So you have to provide a product that is appealing and is competitive to the region. And we've been able to do that. At least we try to. And I think I'm proud of that.
Well, Al does a great job. He's in charge, of course, of 85 parks, and I'm in charge of just one park, but it's an intensive park. I mean, Headwaters Park has a lot of activities and some 45 events from April through October and then 3 months of ice skating. And, of course, Headwaters is a city park, but it's managed privately by the Headwaters Park Alliance because of all the activities. So we're busy. I think we add a lot to the downtown area. It's an attractive downtown destination. It's a flood control component, which we can get into later if you like, and, of course, a center for a lot of activities that we're proud each year grows just a little bit, I think improves just a little bit.
Now, of those 45 activities you said that are scheduled from April to October, we're in the midst of festival season right now. How many of those are festivals?
Well, let's see, about probably 7 or 8 you would consider festivals. Even some of the walks, the charitable walks, are becoming mini festivals because they bring in entertainment and food and vendors and sometimes children's activities. But of course, the largest, the Three Rivers Festival, which lasts for 10-11 days now at Headwaters Park, and with the setup and tear down, they're down there for almost 3 weeks. So there's a lot of activity, a lot of things going on, and Headwaters Park has become a center for most of these festivals that draw in folks from all over the region.
Okay. Now, with the growing demographic changes in the Fort Wayne area, how is Fort Wayne Parks and Rec accommodating these changes? We are changing in this community.
Well, Melissa, that's a good question, and it's also a major challenge. I think we could do a good job, or at least have good programs set up, whether we're successful or not. I guess the proof is in the pudding. And I think we service, the Afro-American community fairly well. But we have our primary challenge is moving into the Latino and the Burmese community. And that's a challenge. We've made some strides in programming, and we're trying to, and I think Jeff is well aware, we're trying to make strides in the Burmese community. It's a challenge. And I think sometimes it's just a language barrier. But that's a focus that we should be doing as a community. Part of our mission is to serve the demographics of the community. And frankly, we need to do a better job of that. And we're trying to.
Now, with the Burmese community, is there a vision at this point of what Fort Wayne Parks and Rec would like to be able to offer them at some point?
Well, at this point, we have been providing some programs, and they take advantage of things. The Follinger Theater, they've been able to run some concerts out there, community gatherings. They also utilize the parks as a whole. But as far as specific programs that would probably cross both the lines of their culture and the lines of our local culture, we still got to bridge that gap.
Now, Jeff, with Headwaters Park, there are a lot of ethnic festivals.
Yes.
What is attendance like at those festivals?
That's a good question. Melissa, and I just wanted to add that for the last couple of years, we've had a Burmese festival in Headwaters Park. There was one scheduled for this year. However, the person that was to be brought in from Burma or Miramar, as it's referred to now, wasn't able to get a visa to get here. So they postponed it. Looked as though they might try to reschedule something for the fall, but now it looks like it's going to be summer of 2013. So we're working with them. We don't have too many dates open, but we hope to be able to have that group come back. And I think that when you look at some of these, some are very small. But some of these festivals, the Latino Festival, for instance, brings in, tens of thousands of folks. The German Fest, of course, about 60,000 now. When I attended the last Burmese Festival, I would guess there were at least 10,000 folks there, through the pavilion, through the park over the day. So they're getting quite large.
That's good to hear. Now, how is Fort Wayne Parks and Rec serving as stewards of the environment?
Well, part of our mission is to do that, not only to provide healthy or leisure opportunities, it's also to be stewards of the parks. And I think one of the first and foremost items, Melissa, is our tree canopy. I mean, we're responsible not just for the trees in the parks, but also 60,000 street trees. And we have active groups locally that support that. But and Headwaters has the same thing, where we're trying to continue to not only maintain our tree canopy, but to expand it. And we only deal with the public side of it. We don't deal with the private side. But also providing green spaces. I think one thing as part of park policy, we have some of the most prized land for development, like any city when they have their park system. And is to make sure there's a balance between development and maintaining of land and green space for the community. So we're pretty serious about turning land over. It's at times it's easy to rationalize and to support the potential economic value to turn land over, but it's also, back to Jeff's earlier comment, an economic value, an economic multiplier of our community is maintaining green space. So we're very serious and strong about that. So I think those two environmental things, and of course, parks are typically natural floodplains for the most part, and act as a watershed for stormwater, act as a retention for stormwater, and so they serve a major purpose in the environment. And Jeff, I mean, you're an example. You are a prime example of a flood control project.
Right, right. I mean, Headwaters Park was basically brought forward as first and foremost a flood control component of the city trying to fight the floods of the 1970s, 80s, and 90s as flood retention space. We have 22 acres of grassy area down by the St. Mary's River that absorbs water during floods, and it mitigates damage that we saw in the community. There were estimated to be, Melissa, about $10 million worth of damage among four floods in the 70s through the 90s. That has been mitigated almost nothing now because we don't have buildings and business and inventory that's flooding. It just floods a parkland, which cleanup and restoration is very minimal.
Fort Wayne parks have changed considerably since I was a child in the 70s and 80s. We have splash pads, we have gardens, we have green space, we have so many different things. An ice rink, as you said, Jeff, in Headwaters during the winter months. Al or Jeff, whoever wants to address this, when you leave the community to go advocate about what our park system is like here, what are the things that you feature to show off Fort Wayne?
Well, one thing I will preface it, the whole comment by is one thing we found out through surveys, through independent surveys that we're not even part of, the Knight Foundation's review of our community of top services, Soul of the Community. Consistently, our community and our region want our parks pretty much to remain as they are. In other words, they don't want a lot of change in them. We may change programs, we may change different activities, we may change some landscape to better meet the times and the change in the demographics. But overall, the system, the people are so proud of it, they just want it to, you know, take care of what you have is the message we get. And Jeff, who's also a councilman, I'll mention, supports that actively on city council. So when you have support groups like that, so we brag about the fact, the support group we have in this community. We have a park foundation. The elected officials are I have one of the easiest tasks in the world, and I'm privileged and honored to play a role in it. When I go and typically present something to our elected officials, for the most part, we get support. And because the community knows how important the park system is. So that makes my job pretty easy. But we brag about that. The zoo is another thing we haven't talked about yet, but that's under the ownership of the park system. However, Jim Anderson, and it operates somewhat like the same way that the Headwaters Park does. It operates independently. And one of the best things we do as a park system, the same way with Headwaters, we stay out of their way because they do such a good job, Headwaters and the zoo. They can just operate and just provide an incredible service. So we brag about that. We brag about Headwaters. We brag about just overall the parks. We're just proud of it. It's somewhat of a labor of love.
Now, in communities, you know, of similar size and demographic as Fort Wayne, how do we compare to other cities in the Midwest as far as what we offer in our parks and rec?
Well, it's understanding, and we're like one of 100 agencies nationally that are accredited out of probably 20,000 park agencies in the country. But in the Midwest, in the cities of 150,000 to 500,000, which is kind of how we consider our peer group, we're top five. And that's just in the Midwest and probably about the 8 or 9 state region. And really, we kind of try to compare ourselves to similar climates, similar populations, similar economic situations, and the Rust Belt, kind of what we're in, is pretty much who we compare to. So we're somewhat the envy of a lot of communities.
Wonderful. Now, Jeff, with Headwaters Park, what is your vision over the next few years as far as how, you know, Headwaters Park is already involved in a lot, but to continue to meet community needs as our populations change?
Well, I think a couple things I'll say to that, Melissa. First of all, as long as the Headwaters Park Alliance can raise private funds and provide a service to the Parks Department and to the taxpayers, then we're still relevant. We'll keep going as long as the city wants us to. One of the things we're working on is to make some... The park is now almost 20 years old, believe it or not. It doesn't seem that, but the first phase was begun in the early 1990s, and we're trying to make some improvements at our expense or the private sector's expense that the city might not have to do. And when we just recently went through this terrible storm of June the 29th, we had quite a bit of damage that the Headwaters Park Alliance will probably go in and take care of themselves, at least most of that, with the Parks Department permission. And I think that's one thing that we continue to bring to the table. We raised private dollars over the years, not only to build the park, but to maintain it and add improvements like the pavilions, the Lincoln Pavilion, thanks, of course, to the Lincoln Financial Group that gave a substantial amount of money. But we raised other private dollars to build that pavilion, the Madge Rothschild Pavilion on the west side, improvements to the ice rink, landscaping, and so on. So as long as we can continue to do that, and the time will run out probably at some point, but as long as we're still relevant, we would like to continue to do that, continue to improve, make improvements to the park, continue to grow. We have 45 events, not too many openings on either pavilion, but a few more that might be taken up in the next few years, and we can continue to be good stewards of that.
Great. And Al, how about you in Fort Wayne Parks and Rec in general? What's your 20-year vision, if you have a 20-year vision?
Well, I would say one thing. There are about three or four items. One thing we continue, and I mentioned earlier, try to restore the tree canopy. But also, and I think you hit it on it earlier, is to make sure that we continue to try to serve the changing demographics of the community. Families and businesses and people rely on the park system sometimes as their only outlet to get out of their homes. But those demographics and those activities or desires change. I mean, an example of that is the advancement and the state of our trail system now. You know, 20 years ago we had, I think, Jeff, we had a Greenway. River Greenway was about it. Now we have, 50, 60 miles of trails that are connected, and also try to grow to 100 miles. So that's a major challenge. But I think just continuing to promote healthy lifestyles and tying families together. We're about good experiences that create great memories, and that's our retention of people, that their children grow up, become adults, have children, become grandparents. They all run through the cycle if they're in Fort Wayne. And people that come to town try to be tied to our park system. So I think it's a simple vision, but it's an important one. I think maintaining, you know, positive experiences and creating good memories.
I think that gets it to what you described earlier as the soul of the community. I really like that. Now I'm going to put you both on the spot and ask you for an anecdotal a story, perhaps, that gets at this notion of the soul of the community. Anything over the years in your work with Parks and Rec that just stands out, perhaps something from a parent, community member?
Well, I think just off the top of my head, is to have people that example would be our Franke Day Camps program, which is somewhat, it's got a lot of incredible history to it, 65 years plus. Well, to have grandparents that have went through it, then their kids have went through it, their children went through it, now their children went through it, and some of them all become active in leadership in roles, and they've all taken leadership role in that one program. And that program has not changed in 65 years. It's the same fundamental tradition that's went on for 65 years, yet now we have people from 8 to 80 that talk about it. And that kind of, you know, connects us to the value of the city and back to the soul. That's just one example. You know, Jeff?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Melissa. And I think, of course, for me to see so many activities down at the park and so many people, so many diverse people coming in. But I suppose the most satisfying thing, maybe, that for me is what we've done is the ice skating rink. And to have a nice outdoor ice skating rink that the first year, drew 10 or 12,000 people. And now just this last season, we had 26,000. And people who come from all over the region, from northwestern Ohio, from as far away as South Bend and Kokomo and Muncie and Van Wert and so on, and to see school buses with kids of all races and colors and ethnicities, to get off that bus and get on a pair of skates, that kind of does me a lot of good. I mean, we really have created something where people enjoy it. And not to slight, you know, with the great work that Al's done, there's a lot of great activities in parks. But since I'm just running the one park, I'll point to that one. I think that's something that I'm so glad we did, and we have plans maybe to make some improvements down there and hopefully keep that rink going for a long time.
I do have one thing to add, Melissa, and I think it's one thing that I'm proud of because it encompasses both of our organizations. We monitor very closely customer satisfaction, and we put a high price on customer service, and it's independent, But we have a target, and we incorporate Jeff's operation also through the way we quantify what we do. And we target 80% customer approval. Now, parks are typically going to have a high approval rating. I mean, you're probably going to get 60% if you don't show up. But we typically run 85 to 90% customer approval on everything across the board, including Headwaters and the zoo. And I'm not so sure. You would think that you would have some people just would throw it off, you know, within a rating, but that's the type of average we run. So even if you, it's almost hard to believe. Sometimes you wonder if the numbers are correct, but it is independent.
How is that assessed? Is that paper form? Is it exit or online?
It's none of our input. It's all, well, it is. We obviously take online, but a lot of it's after every program, after every event, different venues. We have the customers fill out surveys, and they provide it to us. So we don't really, you know, do it ourselves. It's all provided input from users. Now, it doesn't tell you what your retention is, but it does tell you what your satisfaction is. And I think that's a good statement.
And I agree. Jeff, did you want to add something?
Well, we try to do the same thing. Of course, keep in mind that most of the folks that have events down there run their own organization. They're set up and tear down an event. But particularly during the ice skating season, we try to do the same thing with comment, with the comment box, and, you know, basically fill out the slip and send it in or get back to us by email. But we try to, I think Al's got a good point there. You want to satisfy your customers, and you want to make some changes and evolve with people's tastes and interests. And I think we all try to do that to some extent, given the fact that we all have limited budgets and a lot of expenses to keep in mind. But we certainly want to try to please the public. And I think to a great extent we have.
You know, especially when it comes to people spending their recreational dollar, they have choices. They can go any place. And in Jeff's case, I think an example of how well their customer service is the fact that the festivals keep coming back year after year after year. And he mentioned he's got 45 events. I mean, well, there's only 52 weeks. So, I mean, obviously there's a demand for the type of quality of product he's putting out at that location. And I can say the same thing for the park system. I mean, people don't have to engage in programs and go to concerts, play golf, go to the pools. They can go elsewhere. And so you got to make it somewhat of a business practice to make sure you're keeping your customers and your citizens satisfied. Because if you don't, it's easy to lose a customer. It's awful hard to get them back.
Did you want to add something, Jeff?
Well, no, I agree completely. And we're certainly everything we try to do is in keeping the public in mind, again, with limited dollars. We want to make sure that we are satisfying the customer and have a safe, family-friendly, clean venue to come down to. I think we think about that, you know, as we brush our teeth at night to when we get up in the morning. I mean, that's, as Al says, customer satisfaction is very important.
Well, I won't speak for other customers, but I will speak for myself as a single parent whose daughter has attended many of these camps and day camps and whatnot, some of which you've mentioned today, and also as a faithful festival attendee. I'm very grateful for the work that you and so many others do, and I think our community would be very different if we didn't have the fabulous parks and recreation options, as you said, Al, that we do. So thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you helping me out today.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Cultural Conversations, edited by Sarah D'Elia and Blake Lau. Join me every Thursday for a new installment of the podcast at nipr.fm to learn more about this beautiful human mosaic. You can leave questions and comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/culturalconversations.